In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. In addition to the 12 apostles, Jesus Christ chose 70 additional apostles. The 12 traveled along with Jesus to experience day by day the life of Christ, to be with him constantly, and later to be able to witness to their experience. But the 70 he sent out in pairs to go before him into the places that he would preach and teach. This is mentioned in the Gospel according to St. Luke in the 10th chapter. There are many who we often call apostles. We don't think about the fact that they are not of the 12, they are of the 70. Prominent apostles. James the Just, brother of the Lord, one of the 70. St. Mark and St. Luke, evangelists among the 70. Barnabas, Thaddeus, and Stephen, the first martyr and the archdeacon, all of the 70. We don't know the names of the original 70 that Christ chose to send out in pairs before him. Some of them left him once his teaching became too much for them. After the feeding of the 5,000, Jesus taught those who followed him that while those who had followed Moses were fed manna from heaven, those who followed him would be fed on the bread of life, and that he is that bread of life. He taught them that those who ate of the bread of life would never die. He taught that he had come from the Father and would only be with them a little while and would return to the Father, that he and the Father were one. All of these things he taught them earlier than we realize. And when we think of the Last Supper, it's good to remember that the raising of the bread and the wine was the only thing that was a surprise to the apostles. All of the teaching about Jesus Christ being the bread and being the drink that we should consume into ourselves so that we might take his perfect humanity into ourselves and live that humanity instead of the one we had lived before as descendants of the first Adam. All of that teaching had already been given long, long before, early on in the teaching of Christ to his apostles. The teaching about his being the bread of life and how they must eat of him and not of the world came as no surprise. It was after that earlier teaching that while many believed in him, some had left him. Even some of the 70 left him. And those are the ones whose names we don't know. Later on, after Pentecost, St. Timothy, one of St. Paul's own early converts, is called an apostle among the 70. This Wednesday, try to remember him in your morning prayers. It is his day. St. Paul's faith and trust in St. Timothy was absolute and complete. In his first letter to him, at the beginning of the letter that we've just heard from this morning, St. Paul calls Timothy his true son in the faith. Further on in the letter, Paul writes the words we've heard today. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptance that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am first, of whom I am chief. However, for this reason I obtained mercy, that in me Christ Jesus might show all long suffering as a pattern to those who are going to believe on him for everlasting life. Paul's patience with others, his long suffering, goes far beyond a worldly patience. And that's what this passage is talking about. Paul's message to Timothy here is that Christ God himself is long suffering of us. Paul had rejected Christ. He harried and persecuted Christians, better men and women than himself, in order to satisfy his own righteousness. When we judge others, when we look down on them, when we harry them, when we ridicule them, for the slightest thing. We are doing the same thing that St. Paul was doing. He had Christians killed, and worse yet, tried to kill Christ in them. And this is what we must guard ourselves against. Killing Christ in others by our own self-love, vanity, and self-righteousness as we judge them. Paul says that because of the fact that he had been the first of sinners and had tried to kill Christ in others, and tried to kill them physically even, because of that, he was shown mercy. God showed his own long-suffering to St. Paul. God shows his long-suffering to all of us. He gives us time. He gives us time in our lives to work out our salvation. The pattern that St. Paul is talking about, the pattern of Christ giving us a time of long-suffering with us, is a pattern that we must follow and emulate rather than judging others. As God is long-suffering with us, we must be long-suffering of others, or he will judge us for having rejected his long-suffering of us. God puts off his judgment of us for a lifetime. He makes a space in time for us to work out our salvation. He accepts our repentance any time and over again. And so we must extend God's long-suffering to others. We are never in a position to judge. And if we do, we bring that judgment by our judgment on ourselves, because we shorten God's long-suffering of us when we fail to extend it to others and instead indulge our own prideful sense of superiority. The Greek word behind long-suffering is makrothumeo. Makrothumeo. The best English translation of makrothumeo is longanimity. Longanimity is the older version of the word long-suffering. It's fallen out of use. It was still used in the 19th century, but you don't hear it any longer. Longanimity. The word longanimity comes from the word longus, which means broad, and animus, which means mind or soul. And so longanimity means breadth of soul. Breadth of soul extended to others, not to judge them. St. John Chrysostom says, longanimity, long-suffering, places the soul in a quiet harbor, freeing it from tossings and evil spirits. It is our judgment against others, our lack of breadth of soul, our lack of longanimity, that puts us into a condition of anger and judgment of the world around us. God used suffering to destroy death. Long suffering in us is a use of his suffering on the cross to destroy death. It is the main weapon that we have. But when we abandon God's own makrothumeo, when we abandon participation in his long suffering, we abandon Christ and we isolate ourselves, and we find that we are consumed by anger. Anger and judgment against all of the things around us, because we have cut ourselves off from God's long suffering with which he deals with the world and each one of us, and that we must use in order to deal with being present in a world that is an agony for God and for any of the righteous. We must resist the temptation to throw in our hand along with those who are angry and have no long suffering, no breadth of soul, who are focused on themselves in isolation, and in isolation thousands of those who are individualistic in their own isolation and separation from the long-suffering of God can even overcome the good intention of the vast majority of human beings. We are at the mercy of the anger of those who are self-isolated and judgmental. That term that we use in English, long-suffering, is a description from the outside of the reality of longevity. Now, there are versions of long-suffering that people use in order to put up with a temporary difficulty, hoping for an eventual reward, a worldly reward. That's not the kind of long-suffering that St. Paul is talking about. That's a worldly suffering of a temporary disadvantage for a payoff in the end. Sometimes people pretend by having that they have true Christian long-suffering that comes not from themselves, but from God. That's the difference. Long-suffering is a description from the outside of someone who has longevity, breadth of soul. But a description of divine long-suffering from the inside of a person only needs one word. And that word is peace. The peace that passeth all understanding. St. Paul is advising St. Timothy in such a way that he might maintain that peace that passeth all understanding, without which he is not going to be able to live his life as an apostle and a bishop of the city of Ephesus that he will one day be. If we are going to live in a world that is in moral and spiritual catastrophe, as we do, then this long-suffering that St. Paul recommends to St. Timothy is our only sure refuge. It is the long-suffering of Christ God himself and of every true apostle and every true Christian saint. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.